made a stop on the way down here this afternoon, and my wife said, "Where's your tie? You already took it off." I said, "I didn't." I didn't put one on. She said, "Well, what does Brother Ken want you to preach?" I said, "I'm learning." I say I'm learning. She don't say a whole lot, but I'm learning when she speaks to listen. I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. It's a blessing to get to stand in this place again. And I'm thankful to be home. I thank the Lord for open doors and for helping us. It's good to get to be home every now and then. And I'm thankful God's let us be here. Let me say thank you while I'm here for what you do for our family and the help you give us every month. And then some. Let me put it that way, and I'm thankful for it. Appreciate the prayers and appreciate the love. Don't get here as much as I'd love to be, but God knows all about all of that. Came in, Sister Peggy introduced herself to me, and it's all right to smile in the house of God. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the Scripture says. If you've got a Bible, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter number 14. We begin reading in verse number 22. And read a few verses there. Share my heart with you tonight. We're living in a day where everybody around wants to see us fall. And every time somebody gets crossed up, the world has a heyday with it and the devil points it out. But I'm glad we've still got a God who's able to intervene. Somebody say amen right there. Matthew 14, verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come,' and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the portion that you've directed our hearts to. I pray, O God, that you'd open your word to our hearts for just a few minutes, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd let your word make its way a lot further than just our ears and our mind. But, Lord, you'd drive it deep within us where the forces of hell couldn't rip it from us. Lord, you promised your word wouldn't return void, and we're claiming that promise tonight. I pray for unction. I pray for utterance, Lord. Help me, God, to speak to people where they are, where they're living. And Lord, get glory to your name through everything that's done. We won't put our hands on the glory. We'll thank you for everything that's done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The chapter that we've read from is a very action-packed chapter, for lack of a better word. I mean, the disciples have gone and retrieved John the Baptist's headless body and has buried him in the grave. And he has lost his head for doing exactly what they're doing, just following God. And certainly that put pressure on these men. And then the story of the 5,000 being fed. Oh, can you imagine those 12 men serving the 5,000 beside the women and children? Now, if every man has a wife, every man has a child, that's 15,000. One fellow said if it was a Baptist crowd, it's probably 25,000. If it were a crowd of missionaries, who knows how many it was. But certainly these disciples are tired. They're worn out. The day's been long. The labor has been tiresome and has been demanding. And then Jesus puts them on board the ship to go to the other side while he goes to pray. And then if we read on through the end of the chapter, there's the miracles at Gennesaret. But I'm interested in the verses that we read tonight. I want to preach through the verses and give you a little something from each verse. But I'm really headed for one verse, one phrase, matter of fact. Actually, one word will be the whole thrust of the message. So if you'll bear with us, we'll get through the verses and I'll try to give you something that the Lord can help us with. Look at verse 22. There we notice there a ship, and Jesus puts his disciples on board the ship. He doesn't give them a multiple choice option. He says, boys, go get in the boat and go to the other side. Let me say right there, the only thing that would get them to the other side was the ship. Amen. The ship is a picture of the New Testament church, and I bless the Lord. It's headed to the other side. Amen. Oh, thank God. I'm glad the Lord came and He died for the church. Amen. I'm giving my life for the church. Amen. Every egg I've got in my basket has been placed in the church. Thank God. And if the church, it goes down. One fellow said it like this. If this Jesus thing don't pan out, I'm going here, I'm going there. Let me just declare to us tonight, if this Jesus thing don't pan out, honey, I'm sunk. Everything I've got's resting on the church. Everything I'm doing, every breath I take is centered around of the New Testament church. And honey, thank God He came and bled and died for the church. And she's headed to another side. There, the storm may get rough. The winds may blow. The rains may fall. It may rock our boat a time or two. But honey, one of these days, we'll slip into the boat dock in Heaven's Harbor. And there'll be no more storm. Thank God, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no more sea. That sea's a source of storms. I'm glad when we pull into the boat slip in Heaven's Harbor, honey, there'll be no more storms. There'll be nothing else to rock the boat. I'm thankful for what's going to be there. But anymore, I'm getting glad for what's not going to be in heaven. I mean, thank God, no more laying on your pillow at night and weeping and crying and wondering what tomorrow's going to hold. Thank God there's coming a day when there was a song saying no more heartache, no more sorrow, no more tears to fill our eyes. Thank God if you ain't in the boat tonight, I believe I'd reserve my seat, claim my ticket, get it punched and get on board and let's go to glory together. Amen. Thank God for the church. Jesus didn't come and die for some civic organization. He died for the church. He didn't die for a lodge hall. He died for the church. He didn't die for some social group. He died for the church. And I bless His name that He allows us to be a part of the church. Not only the church, the body of Christ. What a privilege it is to be in the body of Christ, in the church. But let me remind you, New Testament local church membership, it's not a right, it's a privilege, amen. And I sure am glad God has planted a good church in Bowdoin, Georgia, where me and my family could gather around. And thank God you could help us. And in the times when I felt the lowest, I thank God God swooped in this place and did something in my heart and in my family's heart. I thank God for a ship. I'm glad there's somewhere we can get that the storm can't get to us. Verse number 23, we see solitude. Jesus sends the multitudes away. Boy, we need some men like that today. Everybody's looking to pull the multitude in and looking to count noses. And I thank God for a packed house. I thank God that things are expanding, things are growing. But you better remember, it's not our business to count noses. It's God's business, thank God. And the ones that need to be here, they're here. And those that's not here tonight, God's got everybody here that needs to be here, thank God. He knows what He's doing. You don't let that Calvinist crowd rob us of the word sovereign. Rob us of the word providential. I'm glad, thank God, God can do whatever He wants to with whoever He wants to. However He wants to, whenever He gets good and ready to, He sends the multitude away, gets by Himself. Now if Jesus, being God, incarnate in the flesh, Brother David had to send the people away and find time, send His friends away, send the crowd and get by Himself with the Father and spend some time praying. Certainly if He's God, and He's got to do that, it'd do us well to take note and spend some time by ourselves on our face before God. My, how is it that this wicked world faces the day without laying before God and getting a hold of heaven? Thank God it used to not be unheard of to spend the night with the Lord. I spend the night praying. Anymore you say anything about that, and they'll look at you cockeyed and think you've lost your mind. Hey, thank God. I love the crowd. I love the brethren. I love the fellowship. Matter of fact, I've got to have it. But thank God there's nothing sweeter than fellowship with me and the Lord all by ourselves. Amen. The ship of solitude. Verse 24, things go south. Ship's now in the midst of the sea. Nothing to catch a hold of. And it's tossed with the waves and the winds. I can just about imagine they board this ship, headed to the other side on a smooth, glassy sea. And they begin their voyage. And maybe a gentle wind's blowing. And they're tired and they're worn out. Maybe they just lean up on something on deck and just enjoy the breeze blowing. And thank God for the good breeze that's wafting across their face. But that gentle breeze in just a few hours is going to become the very thing that scares them and makes them fearful for their lives. Oh, there's storms. One person, one writer I read after said the Christian life is in one of three places. Either you're about to go in a storm, you're in the midst of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm about to go in another one. Hey, I'm not trying to discourage you tonight, but that New Age generation's lied far too long. They say just do best you can. Put your money in the offering plate and everything's going to be alright. May I remind us tonight, Job said, man, born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. Oh, God help us. How it is the storms blow in and the storms rage and all of a sudden the thing we were enjoying the most, that gentle breeze, it turns into a gale and begins to worry us.
storm. In the fourth watch of the night, that's the darkest time. That's the hours right before dawn. The ship's being tossed, and unto them comes Jesus, walking on the sea. And thank God He didn't have to come to them. He didn't have to go where they were. He'd have been just as much God if He'd have sat over there on the mountain and let the storm rage, or even calm the storm from where He was. He didn't have to go where they were. Hey, child of God, let me remind you, when the wind begins to blow, God don't have to have us. He don't have to come where we are. But I'm so glad out of His great love for us, when the wind begins to blow, when the devils begin to rage, a God will show up, walking on the very thing under His feet, the thing that was worrying the disciples. Jesus comes walking on it and says, I've got this under control, and walks right up in the middle of their storm. Storm ever raised and wind ever blown in your life, the Lord didn't have to show up, but I bless Him that He does. You better remember this. Back somewhere in the eons of time, the angels fell in sin. Lucifer got disobedient in his heart, began to think his plan was better than God's plan. And God hit him with a sucker punch so hard, it knocked him and a third of the angels out of heaven with him. And what did He do with them? He created hell for the devil and his angels. Well, let's fast forward a little ways and get over in the Garden of Eden. Man, don't you know he does just the same thing the devil does? He says, God's plan's not good enough. I'll do what I want to do. I'll pay the consequences. And man fell in sin just like the devil and his angels did. But thank God, and let me remind you, man's created just a little lower than the angels, the Scripture teaches. But thank God, He didn't just create hell. He didn't just enlarge hell and shove us off in there. But as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, thank God He came and hung on Calvary's hill. He didn't make a way of escape for the angels. He didn't make a way back for the angels. But honey, I'm so glad there's a hill called Calvary. There's a bloody cross on a hillside. There's a darling Lamb of God, a bleeding and a dying, to get us back to Him. Not because He needs us. Not because it was required to make Him God. He was God long before we ever showed up. And He'll be God all the way through eternity. But out of His love, when man's sin storm raged, God showed up, amen. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, in verse 26, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. 22, we see the ship. 23, we see the solitude. 24, we see the storm. 25, we see the Savior. But notice right here the scare. Jesus shows up in their darkest hour. 3 to 6 a.m. that darkest hour right before dawn. Walks out on that sea, and they ain't never seen nothing like that before. And it scares them. I read a story one time about a preacher whose boy just loved to scare his sister. And he's trying his best to figure out a way. I mean, he'd scare his sister so bad it should faint. She'd pass out. And he just tortured her. And the preacher is in the fall of the year, and he is preaching through the book of Revelation. And he was over there going to preach a message on demons. And he went down to the Halloween store and got the ugliest demon mask you ever could imagine. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. He hadn't preached a message yet. Nobody's seen the mask. It's been tucked away in the desk drawer. Nobody's laid eyes on it. He said, honey, you send that boy upstairs. Make him clean his room. Get up his laundry. And bring it down to the basement where the washer is. And how many of you know how teenagers are when you tell them to do something that they don't want to do? He comes down those stairs. He's got his arms loaded with laundry. Flips the lid open to the washing machine. Starts throwing clothes in. Well, daddy slipped down in the basement. He's underneath the stairs. He's put on this demon mask. And while that boy's throwing those clothes in, he just simply steps out, out from under the shadows. And he's standing there with this boy's back to him. And he's just standing there looking at him. And you know how you get when somebody's looking at you, you kind of feel it. And the boy turned around and looked. And it scared him so bad. This preacher said all the color came out of his face. He began to wobble. He began to act like he was going to pass out. He said, I grabbed that mask and jerked it off. Said, boy, it's your daddy. He said, you know what happened? The one that loved him the most, the one who cared the most about him, was coming to him in a way that he had never seen him before. And it scared him. And I've got to plead guilty. Hey, God's come to me in the form of some trouble. He's come to me in the form of some hard times. Maybe you've been down to the banker and he shook his head and said, I'm sorry. Maybe the doctor mentioned that old nasty cancer word and the Lord has come to you and it scares you to death because you've never seen him that way. But let me remind you, it's because he loves you. It's because he cares that he has shown up in the midst of our storm. And the one that loves us the most, the one who loved these disciples the very most, came to them in a way that they had never seen, and it scared them. But that didn't limit his love. That didn't limit his power. Somebody holler amen. I'm glad God loves us even when we don't understand it.
Straightway, verse 27. Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. We see the sympathy of the Master. He didn't have to speak to them. He didn't have to come to them. But then he didn't have to speak to them. It didn't benefit him one little bit for them to recognize who he was. He could have walked up, climbed over the rail, got on the boat, and they would have recognized him then. But out of his sympathy, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And it's amazing the words that King James Bible uses. Now, they tell me when hurricane season starts to kick up here in a month or two and those big old storms start coming up the Gulf and start coming in on land, they say there's one thing every one of those storms has in common. Certainly it has rotation, but it's different. Certainly it has winds, but they're different. Certainly it has rain, but it's different. But every single one of them, you know what's the same about every one of them? It's what they track them by. It's that spot right in the middle. And they say right in that spot in the middle, the wind ain't blowing. The rain ain't falling. The lightning's not crashing. The thunder's not rolling. And that spot in the middle of that storm, if it falls apart, the whole storm's gone. Notice the Bible, what it said. What's that little spot called? It's the eye of the storm. Jesus could have said, hey boys, it's going to be all right. He could have walked up and rebuked the wind. But in the midst of the storm, Jesus cried out and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Thank God for the eye of the storm. He controls the storm. He moves the storm. Wherever he goes, that storm's sure to follow. If he stops, the storm stops. Whatever that eye of the storm does, it's in full control. That storm bows to the eye. Thank God. I'm about to get blessed on my own preaching. Thank God. That outside of that storm that has the
potential to do so much damage. It's that peaceful spot in the middle that's in control. He's a pulling the reins. He's a flipping the switches. He's a pushing the buttons. Thank God. The eye of the storm walks up and is in control of their storm. Amen. Look at verse number 28. We'll see the second guess. I know none of us would have ever done what Peter's about to do. Jesus says, "It's I." Well, one fellow said, "How did they know it was Jesus?" Well, let me say it like this. If he's ever spoke to you, if he's ever walked up in your storm, he's ever come to where you were at your lowest point and just said, "Here I am." You don't mistake him. You don't mistake his voice. But look what Peter does. Verse number 28. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." In 2012, Carroll County English, he said, "Lord, now if that's really you, if you're really there, and that's not just my imagination speaking, would you ask me to step out of this boat and do something I've never done?" Oh, the second guess. Let me just say this and I'll move on. If God said it, thank God, that old bumper sticker and that old keychain and whatever else, that saying that said, "God said it, I believe it," that settles it. I used to shout on that. And then the Holy Ghost got on it and said, "You can just delete that middle phrase. If God said it, that settles it." Amen. It don't matter if man in his depravity ever believes it. It don't matter if we ever accept it, if we ever trust it. If God said it, honey, you can take it to the bank. It's as good as gold. It's as good as done. It's gospel truth. Thank God. In that book is His Word and His words. Thank God. And what He said, He meant when He said. One fellow said he meant what He said when He said what He did. And I thank God He meant it. And He used. You take it to the bank. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. Malachi 3:6 said, "I'm God and I'm not changing." Thank God. Whatever He promised you, don't let the storm rob it from you. Don't let doubt get it from you. If He promised you over in the prayer place, He is going to calm the storm. Thank God you just sit back and enjoy the show. Thank God. And watch the lightning and call it fireworks. Watch the waves and call them choreographed. Thank God if He said it, hallelujah. It's Him and it's settled and it's done. And there's nothing man can do to change it. Amen. The summons. He said, "Well, come on." Peter walked on the water. Jesus walked on the sea. There was no place on that sea Jesus couldn't walk up into. There's no place. Preacher, I'm convinced there is no place on my stormy sea of life that He can't walk up into. Peter was given leave to walk on that portion of water that went from the boat to Jesus. That narrow portion. But Jesus is not limited like Peter was. If He wants to walk up in your storm over on this side of the sea, He can do it because He's God. If He wants to walk up in another man's storm or another darling child of God's storm over on this side of the sea, why, He can do it because He's God. Thank God. The summons. He said, "Well, all right, big boy, just come on." And then you see the surroundings. Begins to look around. The sinking. Here's where I want to preach in this supplication. The last three words of verse number 30. And I'll be done. Watch this. Peter When he saw the wind boisterous, don't ask me how he saw wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth. I don't understand that statement, but the Bible said it, and it ain't for my head, it's for my heart, and I believe it. Somebody holler amen right there. Thank God. Just because you can't get it sorted out in your mind doesn't mean you can't believe it. Amen. If that Bible said it, that Bible said he saw wind. You can't see wind. You can see the effects of wind in our finite mind. That's the way we see it. We see the effects of the wind. But that Bible said Peter saw the wind. And let me let you in on a little announcement. Peter saw the wind. Amen. I can't explain it. Don't ask me to. I don't know how. But in here I know Peter saw the wind. Thank God. You can take that home and chew on it some. But he saw the wind. He's headed toward Jesus. He's got his eyes locked on him. I mean, he's thinking, boy, nobody's ever done this. I don't have anybody on my Christmas card list that's ever walked on water. I don't know about you. Nobody's ever done what Peter's doing. And then about that time, a wave comes over and gets between him and the Lord. And Peter begins to cut his eyes around. Oh, he's not turning his head yet, but he's seeing the surroundings. And before you know it, he begins to look a little further and a little further. And so many waves have come between him and the Lord that the Lord is eclipsed from his vision and he cannot see him any longer. Hey, that's the way we are. Let me say it this way. We're in uncharted waters, honey. Storms around us are raging that our forefathers never had to face. And if you'll let the devil do it, he'll isolate you, tell you you're the only one in the storm. Everybody else is in the boat laughing. Everybody else is making fun of you. Hey, and that's so. That may be the case. But when everybody else is in the boat, he's in the storm with us. We're not isolated. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Honey, if you can get there, he's been there. Don't let the devil isolate you or he'll destroy you. Amen. Peter starts under. Praise the shortest prayer we can find in the Bible. Lord, save me. Let me say three things about that phrase. This part of the text, and I'll be through. First of all, notice the word Peter uses, Lord. In the Greek, it's the word kurios. I don't get hung up on Greek. I know we got an English Bible, but you don't let them starchy brethren rob you from digging in words. I understand there is a line in the sand, and if you cross that line, you've gone too far. If you say those King James translators should have used this word instead of that one, or translated that Greek word this way or that, that's too far. We don't need any Bible correctors. We need some Bible readers and some Bible livers. Somebody holler amen right there. But thank God there's some jewels in those words. Notice the words she said. Let me say, first of all, we'll notice the proximity of the Savior. She said, Peter cries out and says, Lord. That word Lord's kurios. That means one who has supremacy. Master, King, Father. It's the same word that's in John 4 when the woman at the well calls him sir. It's translated sir in John 4 and Lord in Matthew 14. It's a close encounter. John chapter 20, in the root of the word Rabboni, which being interpreted as master, in the root of that word is the word kurios. And Mary wasn't somewhere in the next county. She's standing right beside Jesus. The woman at the well wasn't somewhere in another country. She is standing on there. She is there where Jesus was sitting on the well. A very close encounter. Let me say this. Let me just say it this way and I'll move on. The proximity of the Savior is when our storm's too big, when we're going under for the last time, he's just an arm's reach away. And now if Peter had cried out and said, Lord, save me, and the Lord had had to come from the mountain, he'd have been too late. But thank God he knew Peter was going under before the crowd ever eat supper. And he knew where he'd be. And he was right there where he could reach down and get him. Amen. The proximity of the Savior. Then let me let me point out the power of His salvation. He said, Lord, save me. That word save is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And the Strong's says that word sozo carries with it some word pictures. Boy, I like them. It says that if you are alienated, sozo is to bring reinforcement where you are and rescue you. Boy, I've been right there. How about you? Sozo is if you're in the hot thick of the battle, that it'll bring backup and run to your rescue. That's what the Strong says. I believe we could say it like this. That word save, sozo, is nothing more than the word grace. Amen. Now, when we think about it, somebody who's in battle has to holler for help. But grace is not that way. See, the way we think in our little bitty minds, it's under the curse, by the way. And we're operating on about 9 or 10% of the capacity that God gave us because of the curse. When we're operating on 100%, who said walking on water is so hard? I mean, I don't know what we could do with 100%. But in our little finite mind, we get hungry. We go searching after bread. But grace is not the hungry seeking bread. Grace is bread seeking the hungry. Thank God. Grace is water seeking the thirsty. Grace is wisdom seeking the ignorant. Grace is clothing seeking the naked. Grace is God seeking you and I. That word sozo, the power of His salvation. I believe we could wrap it up in this one phrase. Whatever I need, that's just what He is. If I'm hungry, He's bread. If I'm thirsty, He's water. If I'm ignorant, He's wisdom. If I'm seeking, going under for the last time, He's a hand that'll reach down and grab hold of me where I am. Going down, and just in time, just before Peter went under, that great God of heaven, incarnate in the flesh, reached into what would be his watery grave and snatched him from where he was. Let me report to us tonight, he's still got that power, thank God. June the 27th, 2000, he snatched me out of hell, and since that time, I've never had to pray, Lord, save my soul again. But to preacher, there's been a lot of times I've got word on the way. And I've had to pray, oh God, I believe you said it best this week. Save me from myself before I do something stupid. God, save me from my surroundings. God, save me from my storm. And the power of His salvation is, it don't matter how big the storm, how big the mess, how hard the onslaught from hell, a God is able to save us. The proximity of the Savior, the power of His salvation. Then notice verse number 31. That King James Bible says it this way. And after the sun came up, Jesus ain't scared of the dark. Somebody holler amen right there. And if he was, he wouldn't have nothing to do with this dark world. And when the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost met together in triune in heaven and decided whether or not Peter deserved saving. That's not what it says. The proximity of the Savior, the power of His salvation. Notice those first two words in verse 31. Notice the promptness of His solution. And immediately, if Jesus had have withheld just a split second to Peter would have been so far under. He could have never reached up. He could have never cried out again. If Jesus had not been close, if Jesus had not been able, and if he had not reacted with a promptness, Peter would have been a goner. Honey, thank God there's been times when I just knew I was a goner. I knew the waves of this world were piling up over my head. And thank God I had no way out. But all I had to do was remember where I was, where he was, and the power that he has, the closeness that he has to me, and cry out and say, Lord, save me. And immediately, oh, there's been a lot of times it took a long time because I didn't realize where I was. I didn't cry out. I didn't call to him. And I sank lower and lower and lower. But when I realized my position and his power, thank God, all I had to do was cry out and say, Lord, save me. Brother Ben, he reached down where I was, and immediately, not after a while, not when he checked with the brethren, not when everybody thought it'd be okay, but on his timing, amen. By the way, God's a whole lot more interested in timing than he ever has been time. Somebody holler amen right there. In his timing, immediately, the very last breath Peter was drawing, Jesus snatched him out of the wave. And I believe he did like this. He pulls Peter up and he says, come on. You notice the sea didn't calm right there. He said, boy, this is how we do it. This is the way that we walk in the storm. This is the way that we tread on the white caps. Thank God, you see what he's doing. He gets him by the arm, takes him back to the boat. Let me just make an announcement tonight. Thank God, then arm in arm with Jesus, we'll not go down. We'll not sink. We'll make it to the boat. You just hang on. Let God do the saving. Let God do the keeping. Let God hang on to you. Reach and get you by the hand, and you'll make it back to the boat. Woo! Thank God. I'm glad God has reached in a mess more times than one and caught a hold of my hand and said you wasn't walking right. This is how we do it. Amen. Lord, save me. And immediately. I don't know what kind of storm has beat on your ship tonight. Preachers, it all right if my share comes and plays. I don't know what kind of storm you're in the middle of tonight. I didn't come this way to preach, but I didn't come not to either. And God had a word for somebody. And while he's nearby, and while he's crying out and showing you just how close he is, just how powerful he is, and just how quickly he's able to snatch you from the jaws of death, spiritually speaking, sinner friend, he's here tonight and he'll save you. Amen. Child of God, you may be going under the very last wave. He's here tonight and he'll help you. Standing with heads bowed and eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray you give this under shepherd wisdom. If there's a need for invitation, I pray you'd nudge his heart and help him. Lord, help the people. Help us to realize, Lord, you all we need. When you all we got, we should have realized long before that. You're all we ever needed anyhow. Lord, I thank you that Jesus didn't have to call the brethren out of the ship to take care of Peter. He took care of him himself. Father, I love you tonight. And I wish you'd encourage somebody who's right in the middle of a storm. You'd help them. You'd take care of them. Help us, oh God, to cry out to you and realize from where our help comes. I bless you tonight for everything you're going to do. I trust you, Lord, in this time. Help us under shepherd, I pray in Jesus' name.